The Revelation of John, the End of the Age of Mortal Man.
So of all the books of the Bible we could begin with, I felt we needed to start with guess which one? I mentioned it before. The very last book in the Bible, all right? The monumental book of Revelation. How many have read the book before? Great. Okay, good. How many have never read Revelation? All right, good for you. Thank you for your honesty. And you may say, Greg, of all the books, why start with Revelation? Here's why. So that you can be in the know. As your pastor, I want you to understand. I want you to understand what's going on now, what's about to happen, okay? I want you to know what God's Word says about the end of the age of mortal man. And also, most importantly, here's why. There is a blessing in reading this book, in hearing this book, and knowing and applying this book to your life. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It'll be on the scripture real quick, or on the scripture will be on the screen. It says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. We'll read that in. Blessed is the one who reads, blessed are those who hear and who keep. Listen, you will be blessed by God just for reading the book of Revelation. You'll be blessed by God just for hearing about the book of Revelation. No other book in the Bible, all 66, contains a blessing like that. God says right away in the first chapter, if you hear this book, you're going to be blessed. Like if you listen to it, somebody talking about it, if you read it and read it out loud, you're going to be blessed. So right away, because we're doing this series, a blessing's coming your way. Ain't that good? I receive that. Yes? How about you? Okay? I got to loosen this tie. It's getting hot up here. All right. Go ahead and turn your Bible or your Bible apps to the book of the Revelation to John. And it's at the very end of the Bible. If you don't know, it's okay. Just go to the end. All right. And notice it, a lot of times it's some Bibles will title it as the Revelation of John. I like to say it's the revelation of Jesus to John. And you're going to see that as we go on, okay? I'm calling this first message in this series, The Revelation to John, The End of the Age of Mortal Man. Sounds like the Lord of the Rings, but that's okay. That's kind of where it came from. I'm calling this first message, The Vision. Everyone say The Vision. Tell somebody he's calling this message, The Vision. Tell somebody else on the other side, he's calling this message, The Vision. Okay? All right. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. We're going to read the entire chapter except the last verse, 21. Okay? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, who's him? Jesus Christ. Things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Everyone say John. It says John the Apostle. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Verse 2 is saying John preached and lived the message of Jesus Christ because he saw it firsthand. Verse 3, blessed is he, we read this one already, who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. That's speaking of the Holy Spirit and the seven ministries of the Holy Spirit, okay? Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Everyone say amen. That's good stuff. Behold, everyone say behold. He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Say amen. Jesus said in verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Those are the seven churches. John was kind of over them, and they represent the entire church age and speak to us. I'll talk about that in a minute. Verse 12 says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one, everyone say one, like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Woo, that's good. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Hades is signified hell there. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Whoa! What a chapter, yeah? Either you are really pumped up and encouraged, or you're like, whoa, that's way over this guy or girl's head. That's all right. You know, it's funny, when we talk about the book of Revelation, okay, and even when you mention the book of Revelation, people get all scared, okay? It's funny, you'll mention that, and they'll get this scared look in their eyes. The book of Revelation, we're going to be talking about it. Huh? Revelation? You know what I mean? And inside, I know what they're screaming. No, not Revelation! We can't do it! We can't go there! Listen, even pastors are intimidated by this book. They'll hear about another pastor preaching on Revelation and be like, whoa, you're the man! Are you serious? You're speaking on Revelation? Wow! I could never do that! Because a lot of times people, they say that, Revelation, I'm not going there at all. I'm just not going to do it. I'll let it sit in the back of my Bible, and I'll be very content with that. I'm going to stay in safe land, the Psalms and Proverbs and the four Gospels. I get those. You see, guys, we think that Revelation is intimidating. We think that it's too hard to understand. We think that it's too hard to teach, and it's scary. Revelation, ooh, I shuddered every time you say that, you know. I'm going to speak on Revelation. Oh, no, you know. Guys, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It is in the Bible. It has a blessing attached to it, and it's in the Bible. Why is it in there? Because God wants you to know, not just some ecclesiastical hierarchy who understands the Scriptures. No, he wants you to know and understand the book of Revelation. God didn't allow the book of Revelation to be in the canon of Scripture just so God could sit up in heaven, you know, and be like, oh, clap his hands. This is going to be so much fun. They're never going to understand this book. Oh, watch it. It's like, hey, Michael, Gabriel, you archangels, you know, pop some popcorn and hurry and get over here because old Matt down there, he's going to start reading the book of Revelation and he's just not going to get it. And this is going to be good entertainment for all of us up in heaven. So pop the popcorn, put the hot dogs on the grill, you know? No, guys, listen, it's clear, it's understandable, and you can know it and understand it. Tell that to somebody. It's clear, it's understandable, and you can know and understand it, okay? Why will such a book, there's a lot of symbols and typology and things John writes. It's literally a letter of poetry and symbolism, and why would it be understandable to us? I've talked about this. John chapter 16 mentions that we have the greatest teacher living inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he'll help us, all right? So listen, don't fear the book of Revelation. Okay? As we start this series, don't fear this book. Read it, study it, learn it, know it, and apply it, and you will be blessed. Say, I will be blessed. Not me, but you, okay? And I will be too, all right? Like one pastor, J. Vernon McGee, writes, he says, the book of Revelation reveals the grace of God and also peace. We don't need to be frightened. As we study this book, we can have the peace of God in our hearts. And I pray right now, God, through your Holy Spirit, surround us with your peace. Because I know a lot of times we've been told that it's an intimidating book. Maybe some have tried to start reading it and they've given up. But surround us with your peace, rebuke the enemy from us, and let us learn from your word in Jesus' name. Amen? Did you know that this book actually has a complete outline that we can follow? We'll talk about that here in a couple seconds, but even though it is understandable, I would be amiss if I did not say that this book is very deep, and it does contain a lot of information, okay? I could literally spend almost probably the most all of this year talking about this very book and covering it. And it's an amazing book, and it rivals, I don't care what movie that has ever been made, as far as drama and action and suspense and warning and what's to come and explosions and fire and disease and pestilence and all kinds of stuff and fighting. It rivals any movie that's ever been made. Star Wars trilogy, Godfather trilogy, SpongeBob SquarePants movie that just came out. It rivals all that stuff. Okay? All right? Listen, this book is basically a warning. Everyone say warning. Beep, 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 beep. A warning for us living now that the end of mortal man is coming. And the warning is to get ready. Get ready. Listen, I highly recommend reading. There's a whole series of books. It's by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins. They're the Left Behind series that came out in the 90s, okay? I've got every one up in my Bible. There's like 13 of them. It's a fictional book series. And remember, Nicolas Cage was just in the new remake of the movie. How many saw that? Any of you guys saw that? Listen, I recommend you reading these series, the series of books, every one of them. You can borrow mine if you need to, okay? And here's why. They make a fictional story based upon the facts of the revelation. Trust me, you will learn a lot. And you will be able to know, you know, this is the fictional part of the tale and what is, because all the things that are going on are based upon the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, if you want to study more, I encourage you to do that. There's a book by Tim LaHaye, L-E-H-A-Y-E, it's called The Book of Revelation Revealed. Megan and I have used that book a lot. It's straight, it's good, and it's on point. As a matter of fact, timlahaye.com has a lot of resources. He just got a new one, I think. It's called The new one is The Book of Revelation Revealed. The one that me and Megan use is Understanding Bible Prophecy for Yourself. I'll send out put that on Facebook, you know, and if you want to get those later, you can. I'll let you know that. But I highly recommend you getting one of these two resources and reading the Left Behind series. Also, there's an app called Bible.is. It's a free app. You can listen to any of the book of the Bible, and it's dramatized. There's music. Dude, listen to the book of Revelation, dramatized with sound effects and music, okay? But don't fall asleep listening to it, all right? Just trust me, okay? But you'll learn from these things, and maybe down the line we may even show the old movies out of the 70s, A Thief in the Night and A Distant Thunder, and I can't remember the third name. Anybody seen those? Scary movies. It's all about the revelation and tribulation. I saw it at a youth rally one time. As soon as they turned the projector off, or it was VHS then. Dude, the youth pastor got up, and I was the first one in the altar, man. I guarantee you that. I was scared. I was like, Lord Jesus, please. I don't want to. Okay. We may show those. I don't know. That's fun. You can watch the whole ones in the YouTube. But as I mentioned, there's a lot in this book that says to us as believers even today, especially in chapters 2 and 3, we read it's the letters to the seven churches. And I'm not going to spend time going over chapters 2 and 3 on those letters, maybe somewhere down the line. But I want to focus on the prophetic end time aspects of Revelation in about 8 chapters, okay, or about 8 messages. I want to talk about the prophetic aspects of biblical end-time prophecy. Oh, man, you should you should see that. Whenever you say end time biblical prophecy, you know, eyes raise, you know, like, whoa, okay, that's some serious stuff, okay? Listen, it's a trendy word right now. Biblical end time prophecy. And people have a lot of questions about it because they want to know what's coming next. They want to know what's coming tomorrow. They want to know about the end. We hear all this stuff that's going on, and it sounds apocalyptic in nature. We want to know what's going on. Even hardened people out in the world, when you start talking about the end time, they perk up. They want to know what's coming, okay? And some of you guys may have never heard of the term, you know, apocalyptic literature in the Bible. I'm sure you've heard the word apocalypse, and you may say, oh, Greg, I've watched the movie Apocalypse Now. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about the apocalypse. The end of the end. The apocalypse. Google defines apocalypse as the complete final destruction of the world. Especially, now this is Google, especially as described in the biblical book of Revelation. I can't believe Google put that in there. I'm glad they did, though, because that's what it's about. This is apocalyptic literature, end time prophecy. That's why I'm calling this series The End of the Age of Mortal Man. End time prophecy is just that, prophetic events that God has ordained in the end to bring about his deliverance, his salvation, his wrath, and his judgment. And prophecies about these end time events have taken place for hundreds of years, even thousands of years ago. Old Testament prophets prophesied about what would happen at the end. It's going to happen, yes? It's going to happen. As sure as I'm standing here, gang, it's going to happen. Did I say that end time prophecy is very trendy? Thank you for reminding me, whoever said yes. I did, okay? Listen, there are many, many, many end-time prophetic seminars and conferences, guys, that are held all over the world. There are many, many books written upon the subject. There are quite a few specific television and radio and internet shows dedicated to this sole purpose and theme. I mean, their entire ministry is all about end-time biblical prophecy and end-time events, okay? And I think over the last few years, you know, it's really been ramped up with the release of the books, The Jerusalem Countdown, The Harbingers, and The Five Blood Moons. And if you haven't read those books, I highly recommend you read those. But let me say this right now to get it out of the way. And this is the reason for this first message in this series. And the vision of chapter 1 that we read indicates this. Prophecy should always begin and end with Jesus Christ. Please get that straight this morning. He's the beginning and he is the end. Jesus mentioned that two times in chapter 1, verses 8 and 11. And Jesus repeats it again in the very last chapter in verse 13. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And the book of Revelation and end time prophecy is all about Jesus Christ. Now, I feel like so many believers who are into this, they get so zealous for end time prophecy and they focus so much on the details of it all, trying to figure out the images and the signs and the pictures and the symbols. They try to pinpoint the exact time and season that's going to happen, who the Antichrist is, where are we, and what happens. They so much focus on that they lose focus on the main thing, Jesus Christ. The Christian church does that all the time anyway, don't we? Focus on and emphasize things that are secondary and not really that important to the main thing, Jesus Christ. I mean, there's believers who will strive and debate over minor issues, secondary things. It's like, okay, Jesus, we're going to put you over here, but we got to figure this out. And I got to make sure that guy right there, he comes to my viewpoint on this. No. Gang, you don't read anywhere in the New Testament where the apostles or the early church sat around in a room and focused and debated on specific details of the end time prophecy. Well, Greg, it wasn't imminent then like it is now. I mean, now we're living in the time, and we got to figure this stuff out. We got to know who the Antichrist is. Greg, we got to know about the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. We got to know about the moon turning to blood. We got to know about River Euphrates and drying up and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't imminent then like now. I beg to differ, gang. And so does the New Testament writers. They lived with the urgency that Jesus Christ would return at any time. It was an urgency that they lived by. Jesus Christ was coming again because he promised that, so get ready. So what did they do? Did they hole up in a room singing 99 bottles of, not beer, but wine on the wall? Whoa, hello. Hey, all right. New Testament context, right? Did they debate the minor details? No, they lived and preached Jesus Christ, and they looked for his return every single day. They preached Christ and Christ alone, and they looked for his return and said, get ready. I want to say a harsh statement here. We've got too many believers who are simply comfortable with their backsides, sitting in comfortable seats, thinking Jesus' return is going to come in another lifetime. No way. It's near, gang. And he is returning. And so I say, as a minister of the gospel, get ready, get living, and get watching. Yes? Don't just get settled in, come to church, and no. Every day. Is this the day? That's how the apostles were. Is this the day? This is the day. Come back, Jesus. We want to see you again. I would love to take a poll of the American church and see how many believers are praying that every day. Myself included. Because we get so busy. We get so used to life. Oh, I've heard about it, Jesus. But, you know, when it happens, it happens. No way. Look, at this time in history, there had been great persecution towards the early Christian church. Tradition holds that the Apostle John had outlived all the other disciples, many of whom had already been martyred for the faith. Some had been dragged apart. Some were pushed off the temple. One had, and then once they pushed on, they took stones and they stoned him and then beat the brains out with a club. I'm telling you the truth. Couple were tradition holds that they were crucified, but upside down because they didn't want, especially Peter, he didn't feel worthy to be martyred in the manner of Jesus Christ. So this was real, and even John, you know, he got sent and exiled to an island for preaching about Jesus Christ, okay? But this was after he survived being boiled in hot oil, okay? Now that's a nice picture. If I survived hot oil burning, I probably wouldn't look like that. You know what I'm saying? But so he survived being boiled in hot oil for preaching the gospel. And then he's exiled to this island. And we even see why. Verse 2:9, he says, I stood for the Lord. And he was writing this letter that of this revelation that he revealed. He was writing this letter to believers that were having a very hard time being Christians. It wasn't like it is in America today. Plush, wonderful buildings, the latest tech, you know, LED lights, you know, in some churches you go to, not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I mean, it's like high-end tech, and we strive for the latest technology, and that's the momentum going in churches today, and everybody wants it. We got to have this, we got to have that, and stuff like that, you know. But it wasn't like that with the apostles and who John was writing to. Wasn't like that in the American church where they were able to sleep in and miss church whenever they wanted to for whatever reason why they wanted to, you know. They didn't have time to say, well, I just don't have the time for that. I don't have the time for prayer. I don't have the time to get into God's word or to go to church or do all that. No. There was great persecution happening. Believers were dying for their faith. They saw their sisters and brothers in Christ being dragged out and killed. They saw them being in prison and locked up. Their husbands, their wives, their children were being dragged out and killed. The apostles, the elders, the leaders of the church, the Christians were seeing them one by one die for their faith. Much like what we see happening today over in Ethiopia. So they didn't have time to sit around trying to figure out who the Antichrist was, what the mark of the beast was, if the rapture was going to be a pre-tribulation or a mid-tribulation or a post-tribulation rapture, okay? And then debate between themselves. No, they were crying out to God. What's happening? Lord, where are you? We believe in Jesus. Why aren't things working out? Is there hope? And this letter that John's writing, this revelation of Christ to John and his coming, it was a revelation that God is in control, that Jesus Christ is on the throne, and he was coming again. Yes? How many have heard of the story Robin Hood? You know, it was a hard time. Prince John took the throne. He was oppressive to everybody. But there's one thing that kept people, you know, this is a historical fact. King Richard is coming again. That's kind of like it is then. It's like they got this letter like, Jesus Christ is coming again. We will hope for that. And listen, guys, it gave them comfort, and it gives us comfort, because you might be asking the same types of questions. What's happening? Where are you, God? I put my trust in your son, Jesus, and nothing seems to be getting better. Is there any hope? Yes. Yes, there is hope, and it's found in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. And this first chapter alone show this. I don't care, no matter how bad or how difficult things get for you, the message of the book of Revelation speaks that the King Jesus is control, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and Jesus Christ is on his way. I like how one pastor, that's what he says. The King is in control, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and Jesus Christ is on his way. Tell somebody he's on his way. I'm going to get excited, man. I'm a little energetic. This letter, this hope would emblazon the hearts of the believers. And the reality of the Lord's coming would help them face whatever difficulty. And guys, so it should be with every one of us. I mentioned that last week. This world is not all that there is. There's more. And it may never seem to get better down here, but one day it will, praise God, because we'll be living in eternity with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And listen, we're not just going to be going around, bring, bring, man, I'm so bored, bring, there's nothing to do around here. Oh, someone, no, guys. Dude, we're going to be reigning and ruling with Christ, first off, for 1,000 years. Then the new kingdom, the new Jerusalem, I mean, we're going to have roles and responsibilities to those that are faithful. I talked with somebody one time, like, I'm just going to be so thankful just to get in. If I just crawl through the gates, I'm like, oh, I'm so, no, you're not. No, you're not. No way. Because we're going to have, there's a reward structure that's set up, and we're going to give it to Jesus. We're going to say, Jesus, you are worthy, and he's going to set us. He says, if you've been faithful in the little things, I'm going to put you over a lot. Oh, there's a whole other sermon right there. Let's get moving. Woo! That's why it's important to live today. Today, okay? All right. One pastor, as he relates it, we should feel the drama of the book of Revelation. We should see the picture of Revelation. We should taste the reality of the revelation. Let it stir our hearts and strengthen our faith. And that's my prayer here for you guys. So in verse 19, we see Jesus touch John and gives him the entire outline for this book. Write the things which John has seen. That's chapter 1, the vision of Christ we're going to talk about. Write the things which are. That's chapters 2 and through 3. That's the letters to the seven churches. That's the church age. That's the history of the church age, God's people. And then the third section that we're going to talk about in the series, write about the things which are coming. Chapters 4 and 22, that's the end time, the coming of Jesus. John mentions in verse 10 in chapter 1 that he was in the presence of God one day on the exiled island. I talked about that last week, about residing and living in God's presence. And guys, the apostles, they got that. They understood how important it was to daily be in the presence of God. And a thought occurred to me while working on this message. Why don't we get it? Why don't we get it? Why don't we understand the importance of sitting in God's presence all the time, living in it, walking in it? Listen, we relegate being in God's presence a lot of times just on Sundays, and we give no more time to being in his presence the rest of the week. I'm going to lay it out. Is that all right? All right, don't get mad at me. If you get mad at me, come talk to me, all right? But we regulate, yeah, I'm in God's presence on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, I experienced God's presence on Sunday morning. That's it. That's it. Gang, that attitude has got to stop if you want to grow in the Lord. You know, hashtag get in God's presence, all right? So John was in the presence of God's Spirit, and he was given a wonderful revelation of Christ. Man, when you're in God's presence, dude, he will give you revelation. I never hear God talk to me. Well, get in his presence. Get in his presence, in his Spirit, amen? And what John was given led to a deeper understanding of Christ, and he appreciated Jesus Christ much more, and that's what this letter, this book, should do for you. You should get a deeper understanding of who Jesus Christ is, and you should appreciate Jesus Christ much, much more. Listen, this book is so much more. We do it a disservice by just regarding it as a book of typology and symbols and information and details. It's way more than that. It's about a personal revelation of Jesus Christ glorified. And listen, that's exactly what some of you need. Some of you sitting here right now, you need a personal revelation of Jesus Christ and a deeper appreciation of Jesus Christ, and one that will bring you to your knees. Definitely. I need that. Pastor Chris needs that. Pastor Charles needs that. We all need a new revelation, a deep revelation of Jesus Christ and an appreciation for him. I'm about to get pumped up, all right? Whoa, my goodness. We're going to be here all day. No, we're not. Look at who we're talking about. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Don't worry, I'm at 7, only a couple more pages left, all right? So look who we're talking about. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Then he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and is to come. My goodness, look at who we're talking about, amen? Jesus Christ. Look, we're not talking about some historical figure, some average teacher that came down in a religion then died, and his old bones are still buried deep in the grave, and they can come and lay some flowers on there. No, Jesus Christ is the revealed Son of God who rules, who reigns, who created everything. He created everything, and he was pierced. He was crushed for you and for me. He was laid in a tomb for 3 days. Boom! He rose again, amen? And now he sits and he reigns from on high. And Jesus Christ, he holds all might, he holds all power, and he holds all authority. Man. And I can testify to this. Jesus Christ, because he holds all might, power, and authority, he can say to whatever is holding you back, whatever is limiting you, whatever is hindering you, leave them alone. They are free in me. And listen, he can look straight into the storm in your life and say, peace, be still. We read in the gospel account, the disciples and Jesus were in a boat, and the Sea of Galilee, storms would just come up on them suddenly and on the boats. And man, this boat was going crazy, so much so that the disciples were fearing for their lives. And they said, where's Jesus? We've seen him do the miraculous. Where is he? He's asleep in the front. Jesus, wake up. Wake up. We're going to die. Oh, little faith. Peace. Be still. Sun's up, birds are tweeting, little fish, you know what I'm saying? Dolphin, no, I don't know. I don't even have dolphins in the Sea of Galilee, you know? And it was blissful. Listen, guys, oh my goodness, please get this vision of Jesus. Please. I don't know, I'm getting a little more excited than I normally do, but man, I'm talking about the King. The King. Dude, if some great high official walked in here right now, we'd be, whoa, look at this guy. Oh, check him out. We'd be knocking each other over to see him. The King, Jesus Christ, is here and is coming, and we're talking about him. And listen, he holds all authority. So I don't care what storm is in your life, marriage, children, job, finances, you're depressed, you're out of it, he can say, peace, be still. He's coming again. And the word says that every eye will see him. Guys, this is no fairy tale. This is no Hollywood movie. This is no bedtime story. It's true. And it has been preached about for centuries. And men and women have died and gone to the grave holding to this fact that Jesus Christ is alive and he's coming again. Matter of fact, they're still dying today, saying Jesus Christ is alive and he's coming again. Don't tell me the Bible's not real. Don't tell me that it's fake. Listen, there were people, eyewitnesses, that saw Jesus. Paul says, and even Paul had a revelation. Jesus Christ appeared before him. Jesus appeared in front of over 500 people. So many saw him, eyewitness, and every one of them have died. Many of them died. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It was an account of the first century of all these Christians who died as martyrs for the faith of Jesus Christ because they saw Jesus. They heard their family, I saw him, and they went to the grave saying, I saw Jesus. I don't care what you say. I'm not recanting. I'm going to take it to the grave. Like I said, I've said it before, if it was fake, men would turn. It's fake. We hit his body. It's not real. No. And so it is real, guys. And they're still dying today because of Jesus. I begin to close this down. Chris, if you'll get ready, my man. Oh. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. I want to be honest with you, as I was preparing this series, we're going to be talking about the rapture pretty soon and God's throne room and seals and trumpets. I mean, it's going to be a great series. But honestly with you guys, I was like, where? And if you hold on just a minute, don't start playing that, bro. I was like, God, where do I start? And I wrestled with that this week, you guys. I wrestled with it. Or as my dad would say, I wrestled. R-W-R-A-S-L-E-D. Wrestled. No. It's like, God, where do I start? There's so much, so much. And I was praying about it, meditating about it, reading the first chapter a couple of times, and man, God made two verses in chapter 1 really stand out, and it was such a revelation to me. Read with me verses 12 through 18. John says, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven golden lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands, picture him, guys, was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. That's purity. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. This is the glorified Christ. Here are the two verses that just impacted me. When I saw him, this is John speaking, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one, or I am he who lives. I died and was dead. But look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Picture it, gang. John had been hearing a voice behind him, and he turned around to see who it was. And the sight was so incredible, so overwhelming that he just collapsed. Just collapsed. Like he just died. Jesus' his presence is like that, guys. And his presence is here right now. Right now. Guys, what we do on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights is so much more than just a civic meeting or a PTA meeting or a political council or a social engagement, a group town hall meeting or a think tank or a get-together or just a fun time. No, the very presence of Jesus Christ is in this place when we gather together, and it should have a massive effect on our lives. An immediate reaction like John had. Now, stay with me for a minute. Hold on, Chris. Hold on. Get ready. An immediate reaction. And sometimes I wonder, I'm going to lay it out, as I watch and I observe, don't judge, but I watch and I observe, I wonder if we feel God's presence here or not. I put that on Facebook last night, late. And you may say, whoa, Greg, why would you say that? Here's why. Every time in the Word of God, whether Old Testament or New Testament, when someone experienced the very real presence of God, they reacted and something happened. They didn't just stand there. They didn't just go through the motions. They didn't just bide their time until they could leave and then go have lunch at Chipotle or Chipotle, however you want to say it, or Cracker Barrel. They didn't just come in for an hour and wave their hand and sing a song or two and then leave. No, they responded to God's presence, and His presence changed their very lives. Here we go. I'll be honest with you. It frustrates me as a minister of the gospel. Ready? It frustrates me when I notice people going to a professional sports game. They'll pay all kinds of money for the ticket, and they will go crazy over a little ball that's hit or a ball that's thrown or a shot that's made or a dunk that happens, okay? They get excited and tell everybody, oh, my goodness, did you see Paul George and the Pacers and the shot that he hit? Did you see Peyton Manning? He's back, thrown, touchdown. We tweet about him, get on Facebook all about him. We let everybody know, and our brothers, we high five. And it's on every conversation, and we get excited. Or I'll watch and I'll notice parents and grandparents who are totally and committed and involved to their children's sports teams, and they sacrifice and they volunteer and they get emotional and they respond and they get excited and they tell everybody and it takes every part of their life, okay? And there's nothing bad about that, okay? But here's what's bad. Then come to church on Sundays only for 2 hours at best. Forget about coming at 9:30 in the morning. I just can't get my kids up that early, but I can get them up early to take them to the zoo or for school. All right, I'm getting mean now. Forget about Sunday morning at 9:30 or Wednesday nights or RJGs or prayer because we're too busy. We can't get the kids involved. But anyway, we come here on Sunday mornings and just go through the motions. I'm going to. And as a pastor, I know you need a touch from Jesus. I know you need Jesus Christ in your life. I know you need Him in your marriage, in your job, with your kids, with your family, in your finances. I know that you need Jesus to move in your heart, to change you, to grow in you, to make you a different person, to become more like Him. But instead of responding to God's presence like John and others in the Bible, we just sit there and we sing, we get comfortable, we drink some cheap coffee, we get a good deal on it, we listen, and then we go out on our merrily way. But I appreciate the coffee and appreciate Maxine and Virginia for making it all the time. Then we go out of this building, and we're not touched by the Master, and we don't respond to His call. Listen, Jesus Christ is the answer to every single issue in your life. Every single answer. Every situation, every circumstance, respond to Him. Respond to His presence. Get in His presence. You know, I'm having a hard time. I don't understand. Get on your knees and seek God. Now look, I mentioned we respond. I got to move. I'm not going to tell you how to respond. No, I'm not going to say that you're running around and jumping and flips, that's how you should. No. Look, we all respond in a different way, but I'll tell you how this is not responding to God's presence. See you Sunday. That's not responding to His presence. Your life ain't going to change. And if you're wondering, man, nothing's ever changed and everything's the same, you're not in His presence. And it's got to go beyond just Sunday morning, gang. But boy, this is a great place because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, He is there in our midst. And there's a comfortableness. There's a comfortableness when we're together as a family. Don't you get comfortable when your family's together? Huh? Don't you love your family? We're family, and the Spirit of God bonds us together. Amen? John falls as if he were dead. Yeah, start playing, man, so I'll shut this thing down. He falls as if he were dead. Dead. I can't even imagine that, guys. To turn around and be like, oh, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? Imagine that. Sorry, I'm an idiot. I know. You'll never probably see another preacher or minister like me ever. You know what I'm saying? I just want you to have that visual effect, even though my back's killing me now. When I ran into this thing. Jeez. He falls as if he's dead. And I like this so much. Please let it minister to you, because this is what stuck out to me. Jesus doesn't let him lie there alone as though dead. Jesus lays his right hand on him. He says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I died. I rose again. I'm alive forevermore. And I am the living one. And I hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Listen, John saw, he fell, he was touched, and he was revived. Greg, what are you saying? This is what God showed me. It's so wonderful. Dude, some of you in here need the real touch of Jesus' right hand. Some of you need to hear Jesus say to you, don't be afraid. I'm everything. I'm in control. Some of you need a real and personal revelation of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are dead spiritually. He's alive. Let him touch you. Some of you are so dry spiritually. He's alive. Let him touch you. Some of you feel nothing, nothing right now. Emotionally, mentally, you're just walking through life. Let him touch you. He's alive. Some of you may have forgotten who he is. He's alive. Let him touch you. Some of you need a healing physically. Some of you need a healing mentally. Some of you need a healing emotionally. Some of you need a relational healing. He's alive. Let him touch you. Some of you, your marriage is crumbling. It's in disaster. It's in rough waters. He's alive. Let him touch you. Some of you have never turned to Jesus Christ. He's alive, and he's waiting for you to come to him. That's nothing to be scared of. Son, those that believe, we've made that journey. Listen to this. Even death itself cannot keep us from the love of Jesus Christ, because he holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He's overcome, and he's victorious. Let him bring victory and overcome in your life. And while reading this passage the other night, the very image of Jesus reaching down and touching John with his right hand and saying those powerful attributes, I want him to do that for many of you this morning. No matter what it is you need, let him touch you with his right hand and say, don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm the living one. I was dead and I rose again. And I am alive forevermore. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And whatever is dead in your life or whatever seems to be in the grave, I can make it alive. That's the revelation of Jesus that we all need, guys. And I pray that the Holy Spirit burns that in our hearts, souls, and mind. Paul, will you come up and pray? Ben, will you guys come and pray? Adam and Kathy, will you come and pray? Listen, Charles, Lord, you guys come and pray? I'm getting a lot of prayer people. Listen, Chris is going to sing. I don't know if the rest of the band's coming. Jesus is here. I've been burdened for this Sunday for a few days, man. God wants to give new revelation in lives this morning, and it's here and present right now. And a lot of times we're afraid. Charles said that earlier. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go down. I'm afraid somebody's going to say something. I'm afraid of what people are going to think. I'm afraid of God's presence. Oh, Jesus says, don't be afraid. I'm alive. I can do whatever you need. I can meet every one of your needs. Amen? And so listen, as he sings this, come down. Find these guys to pray. Find a place to pray. Get a new revelation of Jesus Christ in your life. He is coming. Listen, God is moving right now. I feel it in my heart. Don't sit on God. Greg, you're just trying to manufacture something. You're just trying to manipulate us. Listen, it's up to you. It doesn't do me any good whether you come down and find the Lord to get help in prayer or not. I just know what I've experienced in my life and how the Holy Spirit's helped me and Jesus Christ has helped me. We extend the invitation to you. These are people of faith who will believe. They'll lay hands on you. It's very biblical. They did it in the New Testament. Come on, let's seek the Lord this morning. Amen? Come on, everybody, all around this place, find a place. Your marriage is in rocks. Your marriage is crumbling. Come on, find agreement in prayer. You don't know what to do or where to turn. Find agreement in prayer. Get a new revelation of Jesus Christ. Let him fill you with his presence. Fill you with your spirit. God, minister to everybody, I pray. Touch and minister this morning, God. You know what we need. You know what's going on in our hearts, what's going on in our lives, amen. Touch everybody, God. Let your presence be real this morning. You are alive, Jesus. You are coming again. Give us a revelation of your presence, of you, Lord, I pray.